Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche. Auch bei den Johnsons. Oder, Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau. Made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Travis Bean, and today we are having a very, 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 three very special conversation with one of our favorite people to interact on Twitter with. This is the first time I've spoken to him, though, so this is a big, big day for me. Sorry Chris couldn't be here, still on his honeymoon, but I'm reaping all the benefits today because I get to sit down with Alex Johnson. Alex Johnson? Alex M. Johnson? What do you go by?
Alex Johnson.
Alex Johnson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, you know, as we were discussing before, we're both in the Chicago area and it's snowing today. We get our first snowfall of the summer, which is kind of a bummer that happened before November because the other day I went outside, it was like 50-ish degrees. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too windy, like the trees were just turning colors, and I feel kind of weird admitting this, but like I kind of just stood outside for like a solid 20 minutes. I only went outside to like take out the trash or something, and then I just kind of like stood outside for a while. And
yeah, no, our falls are like gorgeous, and then they last like 2 weeks, and then it just starts snowing. I remember one day I went into school, and it was like 60 degrees when I went out, and 40 when I walked back out of school, and I was like, well, that's it. It's over.
We're done. Hope you enjoyed seeing the red leaves because soon they'll be gone.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's not focus on that kind of stuff. Let's focus on the good things like Kanye West. How about that?
I very much agree.
Because last time I checked, you're still a Kanye fan, right? It hasn't changed since the last time I saw you on Twitter.
You know, I go back and forth sometimes. No, I'm a huge Kanye fan.
Yeah, you've stuck through him through thick and thin.
Yeah.
So to start broadly, oh, by the way, this is a story. I don't know if I mentioned that. This is a very special story episode. We coined the term. We've trademarked it. We did our first one 4.5 years ago of Jordan and. I mean, look at us now. We're here.
You just did Jordan on the last episode, too.
I know. Yeah. Jordan's, he's a series regular. Although that was the first time we've talked to Jordan in a while on not like an episode or not a saw and dissection. That was just Jordan like being naked and bare. And it was beautiful. Poured his soul, heart and soul out to us about faith, religion, his youth.
Oh, yeah. That conversation got deep. I was surprised.
It was funny because like Jordan's like, what are we going to talk about at the beginning of the episode? I'm like, I don't know, like whatever happens, happens. And then like, that's the kind of, when you don't have a plan, like those are the paths you can go down.
Yeah.
And that's the guarantee we give on this show. Like we have no plan for any of the episodes.
You outlined, we're talking about this song and let's go.
2 hours later, we're talking about Paul Verhoeven, Showgirls. And
it's such a funny like comparison to like dissect who scripts out, like they script out everything very meticulously. He spends like 20 hours on an episode writing it and all of that. And you guys are just like, all right, let's just do this and see what happens.
Yeah, we are the polar opposite of dissect. It's been well documented.
Yes.
And we're okay with that because you know what?
I mean, you're still offering pretty much the same like great lyrical analysis content. It's just right, in different forms.
Yeah, the stupider form.
I prefer like bantery. You just have more side conversations that go nowhere.
Yeah, dear God. We've actually tried to cut down on it a little bit, which is scary to think that we are actually cutting down on it. There's been times I've had to cut out conversations and I feel terrible about it, but...
You need to keep those episodes a little under 2 hours.
Yeah, okay. I think we've been pretty good lately, although... I entertained the thought of releasing bonus episodes where we keep all of the shit in, but I don't think anyone...
I've always wondered, the monster episode is like 2 hours long, and you had both Jordan and Jeannie on it, and it's just this monster episode. I'm wondering how much got cut from that.
Actually, those were the days where we weren't really cutting much, so it's all there.
That is actually, nothing I think, was maybe my favorite episode of your show, though.
Yeah, that was go listen to the monster episode. But for now, let's go back to the very beginning. Alex Johnson, what age were you when you first heard Kanye West?
I'd say I just growing up when Kanye was getting big, my dad would throw on MTV all the time. That was just like his default. And so I heard Gold Digger, Stronger, Touch the Sky every once in a while. But it wasn't till 2016 I sat down and listened to like a full Kanye album. It was because Dissect, who I had gotten into because their To Pimp a Butterfly season, which I really enjoyed, they said that announced their next season was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And I was like, well, I guess I should listen to the album if I'm going to listen to the season. And I was like absolutely blown away.
Mm-hmm. You listened to the podcast.
Before I listened to the podcast, I remember putting on Dark Fantasy and just hearing that choir come in with those little background vocals. And then it like explodes into this full, like the full piano and choir. It was gorgeous, and I wasn't expecting it at all because I had grown up seeing only the headlines of Kanye and the Taylor Swift moment, and I'd seen all of that, so I didn't really know what to make of Kanye, but I heard that and I was like, this is brilliant.
Wow, that's really interesting to me to think about being like too young to listen to not that there's like an age limit to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but to think like you could be at an age where like the Taylor Swift incident happens and you just like kind of know about Kanye and know like he is this guy who did this thing, and to whereas like, you know, I had already graduated college and I was like I was a full on Kanye stan, and like I experienced all that at once. It's really funny to me to think about someone who just like your impression of Kanye was just like, oh, he's that crazy guy.
Yeah, that was exactly it. I was like, oh, he's the guy the president called a jackass once. Like, that was my impression of him.
That's so nuts. I actually am like kind of envious of that in a way. I mean, I loved being part of the atmosphere when My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy came out, but to have like a clear lens, I guess, because then you get to go back and understand Kanye at that time. Like, there's nothing... Mm-hmm. coloring the way you think about him. There aren't like, you know, the headlines aren't there when you wake up in the morning. Like, you just like, oh,
I get to look at it all at once.
This guy was like going through a lot and you get to like understand it all at once. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was it was really nice to have that looking backwards perspective of being able to contextualize all of it, because it had all happened so long ago when I got into Kanye.
It also makes me feel weird that there are people that get into Kanye after our show premiered. So, like, if you suddenly become a Kanye fan, like, and you go on, you know, Apple Podcasts, like, we're there. Like, we've heard every song.
That's exactly what happened. After I listened to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, I was like, okay, I need to listen to more of this stuff. So I went back and I listened to every single album in order. And that was all I listened to for, like, a month, was just Kanye albums. So I just went in order, got through all of them, and... The ones that didn't click for me were Yeezus and Life of Pablo. All of the other ones, I got it. I got why people loved them. Yeezus and Pablo took some time sonically to grow on me, but also lyrically, I felt like I didn't have a way in. I felt like they were just so brash and so, like, at the time I thought simple, that it just didn't, like, resonate with me at all. And then I remembered that Dissect had said something about, Cole had said something about your guys' show on the Hell of a Life episode. I was like, well, that might, you know, your show might be worth a shot if it's going to at least give me some grounding for enjoying these albums. And so I listened to your, you had episodes that were just like a 1 hour overview of the entire Yeezus, entire Pablo narratives. Yeah. I listened to those and I was like blown away. Because it was like, you were like trying to pack so much into an hour long episode. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is too much.
We had a time limit at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. We were just like, can we do this? We did.
Yeah, and then I went back and I listened to all the episodes and I got to understanding the narratives of those two albums, and it was like blew my mind how complex, how dense, how well articulated all of it was.
Yeah, it's a strange process because like even though we know generally of the narrative and I've heard Yeezus a billion times, like every time I go back to Yeezus and I write about it or I talk with Chris about it, like I'm always discovering new things. Like the album has so many bits and nuances that like we need to do like five seasons on Yeezus. Like we could just go through every song on each season and keep finding new shit.
I could talk about the first like 2 seconds of just that synthesizer noise for like an hour. Because there's just like, that is the like epitome of the whole album. It's so brash. It's like characterization through sound. It's just like, it blows my mind that that's how the album starts. And it starts it with such a, you know, in such a perfect way.
I'm curious, were you an aspiring audio engineer back when you started first getting into Kanye?
It was around the same time. It was a little after, I want to say I started, no, it might have been a year later. It was 2017 I started making music. So yeah, it was a year later. I just started making my own music and I didn't know if it was going to go anywhere. I kind of thought of it as just a hobby. And then eventually I got to a place where it was like, okay, I enjoy doing this so much. I want to pursue a career in audio.
Interesting. So like, as you're learning those skills, like is being a Kanye fan interesting to you? Like, are you learning stuff from his music?
Oh, absolutely. Sampling for sure. I definitely like just recontextualizing ideas. Like that's why Blood on the Leaves is so inspiring to me. It's like he takes these two samples that have no business being anywhere near each other and he makes something so beautiful out of it. Like that kind of inspires me to look at, to, you know, think about a sample and thinking, okay, how can I hear this in a completely different way from where it already is? And I try and do that with some of my beats where I'll find a sample and be like, how can I move this to something just completely different from what it is?
Yeah. It's interesting. And before Kanye, like, what was your level of, like, what kind of music did you listen to? Were you really into music?
I was getting there. I was like, as I've become a Kanye fan, I've become a music fan. I've always been around music. I've always loved music. I went to concerts with my dad. I was always listening to music, but I didn't really pursue music until I became a Kanye fan. Mm-hmm. And I started finding all these connections to like, oh, I enjoy Kanye, I should check out Kid Cudi. Oh, I enjoy, you know, this song, I should check out Nina Simone. Like, just finding all those connections in his music leads me to all these different artists, and it gave me this hunger to, like, want to constantly find new music that I enjoy.
For sure. Was it mostly hip-hop, or was it just music in general?
It started out as hip-hop. It started out, like, I love Kanye, Kendrick, Tyler, the Creator, Travis Scott, Kid Cudi. Like, it started with that, and then eventually it was like, okay, now I enjoy, you know, Joanna Newsom, and now I enjoy, you know, Nina Simone and all these other artists, and now I've just kind of become like, I constantly seek out new music to listen to no matter what genre.
I love that. It usually I feel like it goes down like the genre route. Like for me early on, like I got obsessed with Modest Mouse and Radiohead, and like from there I found like a ton of indie rock, but Kanye was my gateway to hip hop because I had just never, you know,
I have a weird tangent about like how also samples help me find new music. Cause I found out about Modest Mouse through a Lupe Fiasco song.
Really?
All these samples. It's The Show Goes On samples. That one Modest Mouse song that got big.
Float On.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting though that, God, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say that, you know, early on, like I had this, approach to music where like, oh, I need to like the music everyone tells me to like. Like I'm getting into hip hop, so I need to listen to A Tribe Called Quest. mm-hmm. and I need to listen to Ghetto Boys. Like, I gotta go back to the very beginning. I gotta listen to fucking, like, I gotta experience it all, take it all in. And I found myself, like, really disengaged.
Mm-hmm. I had that too.
Until I found Kanye, and then I realized, like, there was just something. I mean, I can respect all that music and I respect where it led, but, like, nothing ever clicked in my brain until Kanye. And I feel like in a lot of ways, Kanye allowed me to really embrace the kind of music I like and not be ashamed for it. Whereas before, like, I think I felt kind of ashamed when, mm-hmm. you know, A Tribe Called Quest didn't click for me. And, like, I'm reading articles and historic, you know, biographies.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to make it all work when it comes down to it, like, I can respect the greatness yeah. without, like, wanting to listen to it.
I was one of those, like, To Pimp a Butterfly is a masterpiece, it's a perfect album, people, for a while. And then I realized I started skipping songs on it, you know, when I was listening to it. Yeah. I was like, you know, how much a dollar costs? The beat doesn't really do much for me, skip. Like, and then I kind of realized, wait, I can't really call this a perfect album if I'm not really, if I think this beat isn't very interesting, you know? Mm. If I'm not really enjoying all the songs. And that's when I kind of realized I don't need to fit in with all those. I can just think what I want to think about music. The same thing happened when, like, you know, everybody, when you get into hip hop, everybody tells you to listen to Illmatic. And so I listened to Illmatic like 5, 6, 7 times in a row, trying to, like, force myself to enjoy it. And at the end of the day, I was just like, you know, I don't really enjoy it. And that's, I don't think I'm ever going to enjoy it if mm-hmm. I just keep forcing myself to listen to it over and over again. I did the same thing like you did, where you said you were, like, reading articles and you were, like, trying to force yourself to get it. But you can learn everything about an artist, and if the music doesn't resonate, the music doesn't resonate.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I started connecting with Kanye. And I wonder if you had the same path where, you know, you were turned off by Yeezus and the Life of Pablo, and I was definitely turned off by Yeezus at the beginning. But I think my reaction was more, it wasn't a negative reaction. It was just like an uncomfortable reaction.
Yeah, like if an album is boring, if I find an album boring, I'm less likely to return to it. If I find an album weird, like it doesn't do things for me in an interesting way, like Yeezus, it didn't click with me in ways that were interesting, mm-hmm. then I'm more likely to go back to it and find things that I do enjoy about it.
Yeah, and I think, I feel like that's the cycle of a Kanye fan, why every time I say I like a Kanye album, someone comes back to me and says, like, no, it's trash. No, like, Kanye's lost his way. Like, I think the reaction to Kanye is always like, oh, he did something different. And when yeah. you do something different and something that's not familiar, mm-hmm. your immediate reaction is to repel.
Yeah.
And like, it's interesting to think, like, that's what you were really going through in your early part of, like, understanding Kanye and getting into his music, is that you start out with the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, The College Dropout, 808s, Yeezus. These all sound wildly different. Like, how
exactly?
What is the reaction to somebody with that diverse of a discography?
One of the reasons I think I love Kanye so much is that he's never, ever boring. He's always evolving. He's always doing something different, you know? And that, like, no matter what, even if you don't like what he's doing, you can't say Kanye is doing something boring every time, even if you don't like what he's releasing. He's doing something interesting. He's doing something different, which is kind of what makes me gravitate towards it, because it's something, you know, I never know what, you know, what's going to come next with his sound. He just released an actual gospel album. Like, I have no idea what's going to come next, and I'm always excited to find out.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And I guess going up beyond the music now, again, you've only been a Kanye fan for 3 years, and, you know, you're young and you're part of, like, a generation, like, behind mine. Like, I'm actually really curious about this, like, how Kanye's perceived to someone your age and to the people around you at your age, especially in the last couple years, when, like, Kanye's always been, like, pretty crazy. And I don't mean, like, crazy, like, mentally insane, but I mean, like, he's crazy. Like,
George Bush doesn't care about black people, yeah, all that stuff.
That's whatever he's thinking. What's it like at your age to be such a Kanye fan and have to react to him in like your setting, like in your high school, around your friends and everything?
I remember people, my friends, I didn't talk to them about Kanye much, but they knew I was a Kanye fan. And I remember them making fun of me for the whole Trump stuff and all of that. Like, I remember I remember that, getting little jabs here and there. And I just, I figured it's not worth going into all of the very complex stuff to go into there. So I just laugh it off. It's weird having this, like, because we're in a very progressive era right now.
I just want to nail down something. So when you say, like, they make fun of you, like, that to me is, like, an interesting way to phrase it, because generation, what are you guys, Z, X, what is it now?
I have no idea.
I keep seeing, like, all these different names for it. Like, you guys are, in a way, again, romanticize, like, very political and strong and progressive, and to me it makes sense that so many people have the reaction they have to Kanye when he does endorse Trump, when he puts on the MAGA hat. Like, I understand the vehemency someone has to I guess another generation's idol doing that. I don't know if Kanye's an idol to your generation anymore. I honestly can't tell.
I wouldn't say so.
So I guess, like, when you say make fun, like, is it really make fun, or is it like, do you feel outside and different because you like Kanye?
I do feel outside and different. My friends that are into music, they're into, like, I don't want to say snobby, but they like, they like things like, ska punk, and they like, which I also enjoy, but they like, just core rock, ska punk, folk music. Like, they like that section of music. Pop, hip hop, that's not their thing. I traverse both, so I actually have, like, literally no one. Actually, I talk to, like, my girlfriend about that kind of stuff, because she's the only other person I really talk to who keeps up with it, whereas I don't really have that touch point with my friends, and so I do feel kind of outside their perspective on music.
Yeah, that's really funny to me, because, like, Kanye was the biggest when I was in high school. But I guess, even going beyond the music, though, like, do you feel outside for, because cancel culture, like, you're not allowed to like Kanye because of what he did. Like, is that weird to deal with?
No, I don't say nobody's told me, like, I can't like Kanye because of what he did. I don't think it's ever that extreme. I think it's more just, funny to them that that I enjoy someone who supports a very controversial figure whose politics are not widely agreed with where I live.
Right. Again, that's just, like, that's kind of amusing to me, because when you go on Twitter, that's not really the reaction. Like, I've been scolded and shamed and told I'm going to hell because I like Kanye, but that's not really the reaction people give you, like, in your personal life.
No. Plus, I don't really interact with my friends that much about Kanye, just because it's kind of a weird thing to talk about, because I'm so deep into the music and they are so outside of that. Like, I don't even think they know how deep I am into the music.
If only they could see your Twitter.
Yeah, no, some of them do check my Twitter. Some of them have, like, seen my Twitter, and they're like, you tweet about Kanye a lot.
Well, wait till they hear this episode.
Yeah. I doubt I'm going to tell them about this.
Yeah, I would not. I will be sending them all a link, though.
Oh, good.
Richard, Karen. Are these young people names? I'm so detached. So that's interesting to me that, I guess, actually, too, beyond your friends, like, do you get that sense in your school at all then? Do people hate Kanye, and then you feel kind of scared if they found out you like him that you'd be shunned or something?
No, I see kids every once in a while wearing, like, a St. Pablo shirt or a Yeezus shirt. So I wouldn't say he's, like, reviled at all. I'd say there are some people in the school, if I said that too, they'd be kind of upset about it. But I'd say for the most part, it's generally pretty tolerant, or at least the politics are never brought up.
Also, again, very interesting to me, because you are in the Chicago area. You would think, like, people would love Kanye.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, it's like we're growing up in this weird generation where Kanye isn't this new, like, huge artist. He's just been a mainstay in popular music for so long. He's just another Drake. He's just another, like, Taylor Swift, somebody who's just there, who's been there for so long now that he just kind of, like, we're used to it by now. We're used to him being part of the cultural landscape.
That's so funny to me. That it's just a whole different perspective that I'm trying to wrap.
Oh yeah, like I grew up knowing Kanye was a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have this, oh my God, who's this new rapper out of Chicago who's doing beats for Jay? I never had that.
Yeah. So I guess going beyond, since it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal for you to be a Kanye fan amongst your friends and everything, like, I guess just to you personally, with whatever your beliefs and ideas are about life, about politics, about society, like, what's it like for you to be a Kanye fan? Because, I mean, personally, me, like, I definitely don't always agree with Kanye, and it's weird for me to not just balance liking his music, but, like, having a show where I talk about him a lot. Like, it's weird. It's a weird state to be in when, and again, I don't know if you agree or don't agree with Kanye and a lot of stuff he does, but, like, what's that like for you to be, to have all that mix of emotions surrounding such a controversial artist that you love?
Yeah, no, I definitely have that, because I listen to his music and I'm like, oh my God, this person is a genius. But then I look at, you know, some of the stuff I've come around on, like the Trump thing, I understand now some of the stuff he said, I have an understanding for, but he still says stuff. Like the thing he said about Kim a couple weeks ago, where he's like, he doesn't like her wearing certain outfits. Like things like that still, like, put me in a weird place where I'm like, that doesn't sit right with me. But at the same time, I don't think anything he says comes from a place of, like, hatred.
Right.
I don't think anything he does is trying to do something negative. I think he likes expressing how he feels, and I think he's even said before that, like, he just says what's on his mind and he lets people correct him. Like, he wants people to correct him so he'll learn from it. But it's still weird when he throws out things like that. And it's just like, ugh, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's a weird give and take with Kanye, because it's a lot of people are inspired by Kanye because he does speak his mind and because he's kind of fearless in that way. So again, like with somebody like that who is that fearless, like there's good and bad. Like sometimes you say stuff that's really inspirational and moving and something you think people need to hear. And sometimes you think, like, man, like, did you think before you said that? Or, like, would he say that, like, 2 weeks from now when, like, he thinks about it a little bit more and, like, has a different tune on it? Like, I don't know. I guess, are you in, like, does Kanye as a person inspire you in that way? Like, are you inspired by, like, the way he is and conducts himself?
Somewhat. I like the, like, he inspires me to, like, speak my mind, but I keep it lower stakes, you know, like, here's my thoughts on this music artist, like, as opposed to, like, here's my thoughts on the political campaign with, like, just, like, no actual regard for the actual politics of it. So I try and keep it to lower stakes things and have more nuanced, considered, you know, I look at all, like, the, you know, I get to vote in the next election. Like, I actually want to look at what's happening. So I think I'm inspired to speak my mind on some things, but at the same time, I also don't want to speak my mind on everything if I'm not informed.
That's really interesting. So, like, Kanye looks to inspire people to speak their minds because, like, by speaking his mind, but he kind of, like, has inspired you to be more thoughtful.
Honestly, sometimes he inspires me to do the opposite because, you know, I like being able to be articulate with what I say, you know, so I don't want to be saying things like, you know, slavery sounds like a choice. I want to express that. No, I want to express the idea of, you know, we are still, you know, enslaved by the constructs of society that are, you know, putting us in positions that we can't get out of. I want to express that in a more nuanced way.
Totally. But,
so I try and do that as opposed to just saying the first thing that hits my brain.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, that's part of both the beauty and the pain of being a Kanye fan. Like, I really do love him for being that fearless, though. Like, there's something, I guess just because, like, no one else really does it.
Oh, yeah.
People who do it, to me, aren't likable, like, don't do it from a place of love, to where, like, I think Kanye aims to do good and bring people together. He just has a very strange way of doing it sometimes.
He's like the only major celebrity who I feel like has total control of his image. I feel like he has total control of what he says and does, whereas all these other, like, you never see Drake or Beyonce saying what he says. Like, they are so, like, we have to act like this because we have all of these fans. We have all, you know, I can't imagine Jay-Z or someone like that doing what Kanye does.
Yeah.
Whereas Kanye just says whatever. And I think that's inspiring in its own way, that he's at that level and still has that confidence where, and he maintains his fame while still doing all those controversial things that nobody else at his level does.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So with all that said, with all the flood of emotions you have about Kanye heading into Ye, what was the Ye listening experience like for you?
Well, for context, I'm pretty close to it because my dad is bipolar. So I'm very close to the subject matter. And it was a very emotional first listen. First of all, it was exciting just because it was my first time listening to a Kanye album live with everybody else. That was a lot of fun. But it was this very, at least it started as this very dark album. And I could really feel all of the things he was going through on it. Like, that opening of I Thought About Killing You was like terrifying to me because I'm so close to it. And I've been lucky enough to not see it happen, but I've heard about it happen and it's genuinely terrifying. So that it's all.
Is what you're reacting to just for, because maybe not everyone knows how we dissect the sound. Like, it starts in this kind of spoken word where Kanye's, you know, all the most beautiful thoughts are besides the darkest. And then he ramps up a little bit. And by the end of the song, he's a completely different person. Is that what you're connecting with?
Well, first listen, I'm generally listening for the music. It was those chords that Francis and the Lights is doing. Like that, just like that, plus the way Kanye was speaking was very ominous and like off-putting in a very intentional way. But all of that just really provoked a lot in me. And it was a very intense first listen, especially to that song, I think. Because that is, I think, the most tense song on the album. Maybe All Mine is the most tense, but that song is very tense. When Kanye is doing tense things, he uses this specific chord that's a very intentionally tense chord. He uses it on Selah as well. It's a dominant seventh chord, which has a tritone in it, which is a dissonant interval. So he'll use that, and it creates this very tense feeling.
Interesting. And I guess the album as a whole, how are you going beyond I Thought About Killing You? Like, what do you get from that album by the end of it, by Violent Crimes? Like, what is speaking to you about what you've had to deal with in your personal life?
It is really, really a beautiful album. It's just a very cathartic listen to get from front to back, and you have it starting and I Thought About Killing You and ending with Violent Crimes, and you have this push and pull there of these extremely conflicting sides of the album. And so getting through all of that and having the light at the end, it's a very optimistic album by the end of it. And that's always made it an album I can turn to when I'm feeling upset about something, when I'm, you know, going through something, because by the end of it, it's a more calmed, more relaxed place, at least a more optimistic place.
It's really interesting, like, because you must have connected with it on some deeper level, going beyond like connecting with the subject matter. It really was the first album you got to experience like live.
Yeah.
Was something, do you think that was coloring your impression of it?
I'd say that first listen experience of being online with everyone and talking, giving all those first reactions was part of it. I think that's part of the reason I enjoyed it so much, because I have that good, those good memories of listening to it attached to it.
Yeah.
So I definitely say that was part of it.
And then, not that like a ton changed between Ye and Jesus Is King as far as like Kanye's public image, like people still like hate him and he still loves Trump and blah, blah, blah. But is there anything leading up to Jesus Is King that's changed for you as a Kanye fan?
Well, I am not religious So it was, I won't say weird, it was interesting to see Kanye go down this extremely religious, you know, extremely religious path and just full dive head on into it. He's always talked about religion in his music and it's always been a theme, but this was the first time he was like devoting an entire album to praising Jesus, which was at first kind of unsettling for me, not being a Christian and having all these conflicting ideas about religion. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, I attended Sunday service when he brought it to Chicago and it was a worship service, but I think I still get a lot out of that because music in itself is spiritual. Even if I don't believe in a religion, I still get something out of music.
Yeah, that's interesting because you have a very detached relationship from religion. Like, it's not part of your life at all. To whereas, like, you know, in Jordan's episode, we were heavily discussing how it was like a huge part of like the way we grew up. Like, that must be weird to feel detached from a subject matter for the artist you care more about. Anyone in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, the root of Kanye's albums is always about bettering himself. Yeah. It's always about looking at your faults and getting to a better place, which is something I can always relate to, even if he puts different filters on it. You know, he puts, an idea of Christianity over it. He puts the idea of marriage over it, or he puts the idea of being bipolar over it. I still always relate to that key, like, bettering yourself theme.
Mm-hmm. So I guess then, what was the Jesus is King listening like, or listening experience like for you?
That album dropped in what, like the middle of the day on Friday. So I was sitting at the lunch table listening to the music while all my friends around me were talking. So it was a very, like, it was hard to focus on the first listen. I was trying not to react too strongly to the music, as in, you know, it's to not seem like weird to my friends. But I was, like, being absolutely blown away when, you know, Selah came on. And it was just this, it was huge. You know, it feels like there's just a choir around you singing. And it's got these huge drums and, you know, sound effects. It just sounds gigantic. So that first listen to Selah was really difficult for me to, like, try and keep myself composed. Because I was, like, trying not to sit there with, like, my mouth open. Like, oh my god, this is incredible. And then I was basically just trying to enjoy the album while trying not to seem like I was enjoying something as much as possible.
Interesting. I honestly expected you to kind of go the other way, that maybe you weren't quite connecting with it on the first listen. But
I think, well, like I said, first listen, I'm always just listening for music, not lyrics. And so just music-wise, I was really, really enjoying it. I was enjoying, you know, the flow on Follow God, the beat on, you know, the singing on God Is, the beat on God. I was just really enjoying all of that. And then in subsequent listens, I was looking more at the subject matter and looking more at the lyrics and what was happening there.
And how's that been?
It's been conflicting trying to piece together what Kanye is doing here, because it's sound-wise maybe his most avant-garde album, but lyric-wise it feels, I don't want to say, it seems like it doesn't tackle as much as some of his, as like Ye does or as Pablo does, because those albums all have these sections with dense lyrics, whereas Jesus is King feels very spare.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean. Lyrically, it's pretty thin, which I don't mean that as an insult at all. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the songs are like under 2 minutes long. Like,
lyrically, yeah, it's thin. Not that they're not deep. It's just that there's so little of them.
Right. I guess, and I think what you're saying about it sonically makes sense, is that and I've said this like five times, but I'm going to say it again. Like, to me, Jesus Keep feels like a journal, like a bunch of journal entries in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's more about the emotion you're getting from somebody spilling out their feelings and thoughts about something, and less about needing like a lot of lyrics, I guess. Like, to me, that's not where the power of the album is. And that's even the story of the album is. So I think I understand that reaction a lot of people are having, that like the lyrics just seem kind of ordinary and like typical of anybody going through like rebirth of their Christianity.
Yeah. And like, I at least admire that Kanye is doing worship music in a unique way, because I despise most worship music because it's so trite. It's just, I love God, I love God, I love God. And I'm just like, okay, that's enough of that. Whereas at least Kanye, I think, on a basic level, is at least addressing things. You know, he's looking at more nuanced sides of Christianity more than just praise God, praise God. So I at least was able to appreciate that from it, even if I'm still like looking at the lyrics and I'm still trying to dissect everything that's happening on the album, because it still feels like it has the same half and half thing that Ye and Kids See Ghosts do. You guys talked about the 313 and this one kind of has a 515. I definitely hear that, and it's still struggling trying to piece together what each song specifically is doing.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree. And again, I think this is kind of, someone on Twitter, one of the few people I've ever engaged with, I don't know why I did it, was like, you have to listen to a Kanye album like over and over to understand it. Like, is that the sign of a good art? And I'm like, I guess I don't know if it's a sign of good art. I think it's a sign of me like caring about an artist, because I don't think any piece of art, if you really truly want to fully understand it and connect with it, it's not easy. It's certain images and sounds can wash over you and they can have profound transcendent effect. But I think when it comes to truly engaging and connecting with something, like, yeah, I want to pour myself into it. And I'm going to do that with Jesus Is King because I love Kanye. And even if the album isn't for me, like, I'm going to get at least to a point where I understand it and appreciate it more. Yes. So I imagine that's kind of the boat you're in.
Yeah, there's not many artists I do that for, but Kanye is definitely one of them where I'm like, even if I don't enjoy this album, which I do, but even if I don't enjoy it, I'm at least going to consider it enough to appreciate the good things it's doing, because I think Kanye is at that level where, you know, he's always doing something that's forward thinking.
Yeah. And then you said it was his most avant-garde album sound-wise. Like, any color you want to add to that? Like, what are you hearing that is like completely different than anything before?
It's just, I think about like, Yeezus has always been the go-to, like, this is Kanye's most experimental album. But there are albums that do have, you know, house influence and do have drill influence and are industrial hip-hop. You know, and I wouldn't say Yeezus is totally comparable to those, but there are albums that have sort of the similar.
Like Death Grips.
It kind of gets on my nerves when people compare Death Grips to Yeezus, because it's such like an easy way to minimize what Yeezus is doing. It's like the go-to, oh, they're just doing what Death Grips was doing in 2012. And I'm like, well, not at all, actually. but then I try and think about, like, there's not a single album I can think of that sounds like Jesus Is King. It sounds like nothing else I've heard before.
Yeah.
It's, like, Kanye called Life of Pablo a gospel album, but I think it's a hip-hop Kanye album with a lot of gospel influences, whereas this really does feel like Kanye's take on gospel.
Right.
I think that's why he starts it with an actual, just honest-to-God gospel song with no Kanye. Is he's like, you thought Life of Pablo was a gospel album. Here's an actual gospel album. You know, no pretense about it.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't. It never gives up on that. It never stops being a gospel album. It continues that for the whole album, which is really impressive to me. Because so many albums start with an idea and then they just kind of become the same thing that artist has always done. But this album really continues it through the whole album. And I think that sound has never been done before. Like, I can't think of a song that sounds like Hands On. Like, what sounds like that?
So Okay, we have the overview of your Kanye listening experience. Anything you wanted else you want to talk about with Kanye before we head into your favorite songs?
No, I don't think I had anything else.
Well, first, let's cover your favorite. Could you do a top three Kanye albums?
My solid top three has always been Yeezus, Ye, Pablo. I switch back and forth between Pablo and Ye at two and three, but that's always my top three.
Yeah, I always switch between Yeezus and Pablo as number one because I love them for completely different reasons.
Yeah, Pablo is, you know, this. It's like his second My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It like expands on Yeezus in this huge way. It's an hour long. It has all these different parts to it. But then Ye is so subtle and so like condensed. It does everything it needs to in like 25 minutes. And that's always so impressive to me.
Yeah, all classics. And then the moment we've all been waiting for, we're extending the usual top five to a top 10 for Alex, because he's been begging to get on here for so long. We felt kind of obligated to. So top 10, let's do it.
I had to adjust it. When you said I had to do a top 10, I had to adjust it before I recorded this. So
add five.
Yeah, my number one is actually kind of cliche. It's Runaway.
Oh, Runaway is amazing, though.
Yeah, Runaway is amazing, though. That outro is just, I think, my pick for like the best 3 minutes of music ever recorded. Then number two is Ghost Town. Three is Hold Beautiful. My Liquor. Four is Father Stretch My Hands, Part One. Five is Selah. Six is I'm In It. Seven is Wolves. Eight, Blood on the Leaves. Nine, Lost in the World. 10, Waves, which narrowly beats out I Thought About Killing You. I sat there for like 5 minutes debating which one to put at 10.
I think you and I are the only people in the world that have Waves in top 10.
That beat is just untouchable. As much as I dislike Chris Brown, that beat is untouchable.
You know, every time Waves gets brought up, like, it's, you inevitably have to bring up Chris Brown. I'm going to go ahead and pitch it right now. Like, let's just stop doing it because no shit, Chris Brown is a shit. Like, yeah. Does that need to be like stated every time we talk about Waves?
I mean, it's part of the song though. Kanye said he specifically wanted someone controversial on the song.
I guess so. But I don't know. All right, keep talking about Chris
Brown. But the problem is that Chris Brown is actually talented and he does a really good job on that song. So it's like, it's very conflicting, but at least Cudi comes in with the hums on the second half and I feel good about it then.
It balances it out.
Yes, it does.
Oh man, that's a great top 10. Glad to see a Jesus is King song on there. It sounds like the first listen really colored your experience.
Yeah, I have a thing for like just amazing musical moments. Like something that just blows me away, like the Ghost Town outro or the New Slaves outro. Something like that that's just absolutely insane musically, and that's what Selah does to me. Those chords or something else.
Yeah, when I you weren't at the Jesus is King listening party, were you?
No, I couldn't make it.
Yeah, that when Selah played, that was the song where like the way people were moving and bumping, and like I don't know, that was the one. Like when I heard it, I was like, oh shit, is like this the next Runaway?
But, yeah, that's kind of where I was, because I heard bits and pieces of it from Sunday Service. And I would hear that and I'm like, that's absolutely incredible. And then I heard it for the first time and I'm like, yeah, this is at that level of just incredible musical moments.
I remember I was reading a review somebody wrote, it must have been of the New York listening party, but they wrote like, I think Kanye played the song called Selah, and like it was really annoying because like they were shrieking Hallelujah over and over. And I was like, man, like it's crazy that two people can have like polar opposite reactions to that song.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how music is, where people can react to things totally different. I know people who find the Runaway outro annoying, and I just like that kind of blows my mind because it's so beautiful to me. But at the end of the day, it's just how people hear things.
Yeah, can't do anything about it. But
yeah, or people like don't like the mixing on Ghost Town at the end because the drums are kind of weird. And...
Yeah. I always stay out of the mixy discussions. Like, not that I think I need to be like knowledgeable or like an expert in that kind of stuff, but like every time someone says something like that, I'm like, do you know like what you're talking about? Like, I can't get into it.
I do get into it just because I actually, I think I have an ear for that stuff where I will admit the first mix of Jesus is King was kind of rough. Pusha T's vocals on Use This Gospel did not sound great, but pretty much all my problems I had with it were fixed.
He still sounds kind of tinny, though.
He does a little bit. It sounds more like the mic than the mixing, though. It sounds like he just
recorded
on a bad mic.
Yeah, and a bad mic in a big open room.
Mm-hmm. And, like, there's not much you can do with that unless, I don't know, usually if there's mic noise, you can EQ out a little bit of the middle section and it'll get rid of that. But I think Push's voice is really resonant there. So if you do that, you, like, deplete a lot of his vocal tone. So it's really hard to mix that.
Well, I think there's a reason for it, but we'll talk about it on the show. Alex, thank you
you think there's reasoning behind that?
Totally. Totally. 100%. Wow.
I know you 100%. Said you had a theory about Kanye's why he does the whole IRS line on God.
I think that might have been Chris.
that might have been Chris.
That wasn't me. He's texted me about that, and I'm very interested to talk about that on the show.
I am too, because I actually have an idea for it too.
I do think there's a reason for it, and I said this on Twitter too. Like, the Pusha T thing is like too obvious to not that I'm saying like Kanye wanted to make it sound like he didn't go into the studio like make this sound as shitty as possible, but I think there's a certain power that comes from his voice in that moment that applies to what's going on in the album's general narrative. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of emotion that comes from a sound like that that you wouldn't get from like a really clean, polished take.
Yeah. And the same thing with like people were talking about how they don't like the solo saxophone bit. I love it. And then I heard, what was that edit that somebody made where somebody like put the saxophone over the beat? And I was like, it sounds so bad.
Yeah. on top of just sounding bad, it takes away from my theory. So I reject it.
Like Kanye, I think very intentionally does the things he does. And if he puts a saxophone solo with no beat there, there's a reason for it.
And I think the fact that the solo is so airy and like clean that, again, completely juxtaposes like the voices you've been hearing on the song. So all intentional.
Like even Kanye's vocal sounds very rough on it. Like everybody's vocal does, except, and then you go into the saxophone bit, which sounds like perfect.
Yeah. Can't wait to talk about it. But
yeah,
that's for another day. Yeah. For now, we have to, first of all, thank Alex for coming on the show. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
But thank you again for so much coming on. And now it is time for your last call. We're going to lay down the last call beat, a beat you called one of the most beautiful beats ever laid down. And we're just going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk, whatever you want to plug, whatever's on your mind. Just, it's all yours now.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I had a great time talking Kanye. I'm really excited to see where his music goes next. I don't know if this gospel thing's just going to be a phase or if it's going to carry on into his next stuff, but I'm always very excited. I'm always excited for just new music in general. Francis and the Lights is coming out with an album tonight. I'm very excited for that. I'm excited to just keep up with all the new stuff that's happening. I'm excited to have a good time continuing to talk and enjoy music with people and continuing to make music and doing my thing. I'm finally getting a studio set up, which is going to be very exciting because I'll have, you know, actual professional equipment to do my work with. If you need anything mixed, my Twitter is at AlexMJJohnson. Please, you know, DM me, say you need something mixed. I will do it gladly. Thank you guys so much for having me. I had a great time.
And they ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses, to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol. For